This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Continuing our journey with Surah Al-Jum'ah, which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam recited in the Jum'ah prayer, along with Surah Al-Munafiqun. And the ulama mentioned the recitation of these two surahs will be the congregation of the believers and the hypocrites. Because there's no way to escape for these hypocritical individuals, for these individuals to be exposed in a public domain. So he would give glad tidings to the believing individuals inside Surah Al-Jum'ah that we find the blessings of Huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyin, that the blessing of an illiterate prophet has been sent amongst them, who teaches them the book, the scripture, and he guides them and he gives them wisdom. And likewise, the warning of those individuals who carry books, knowledge on their backs, like donkeys who carry books on their backs. And likewise, the warning of death that will come and befall upon all of us. And then a discussion about Yawmul Jum'ah, about the distraction of maybe business and tijara that may distract many individuals from not coming to offer their Friday prayers. And the stranger is then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about al-munafiqun. Ka'anna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yushir, that those individuals who left, watarakuka qa'ima, who left you there standing in Yawm al-Jum'ah, as we mentioned, wa Rasul alayhi salam kana yakhtub, was giving the khutbah, and you find that when the tribes came or when the business tradesmen came with their caravans and some of the Muslims, they fled, thinking we're going to miss our risk, miss our business. So they left the Prophet alayhi salam standing there, the only some ulama of tariq or history or seerah mentioned 12 individuals. So this could be no'un logata no'un minan nifaq, hubbud dunya. That all of us that we go into that, the love of the dunya could derail us away from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the following surah begins that this is an element of nifaq, idha ja'aka al-munafiqoon, that when the hypocritical individuals that they come in the gathering of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the side point, the end of the surah also ends. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. Another warning again at the end of Surah Al-Munafiqun, that don't let your children and your wealth derail you, take you away from the dhikr of Allah. Mean that at times, inna min amwalikum wa awladukum fitna, that sometimes, inna min tab'idiyya ahyanan, that sometimes your children, your wealth, your property could become a fitna that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These surahs contain 11 verses. And to expose the hypocritical individuals, because in today's world, there's many places for hypocrites to hide. And we're not trying to say that today's hypocrites are worse than the hypocrites at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But you can see the benchmark, begin to visualize their hypocrisy and see their attendance. That is quite strange that even being clear-cut hypocrites, كَانُوا يُسَلُّونَ وَرَاءَ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. They used to pray behind the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. And not just pray behind him. They used to come for Salatul Fajr. They used to come there because that's when you'll be sprouted out. That whoever didn't make it for Salatul Fajr, that is a clear symbol that this individual is a hypocrite. Because no one used to stay away from the prayer behind the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. Not even the munafiqeen. إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ مُسَافِرًا أَوْ كَانَ مَعْذُورًا أَوْ مَرِيضًا. Person was sick, or had a genuine excuse, or was traveling, that all the rest of the companions knew that this individual is no longer with us. So the hypocrites made sure that they attended the prayer behind the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That you find Ra'sul Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay, Salul, read about his seerah, Rajulun Ajib. When the Prophet alayhi salam would come to give the khutbah, he would stand at the doors, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the head of the hypocrites. And he said, this is your messenger. Well, even though some ulama say he would say this as a form of istihza, mockery. But his words were there, come and listen to your messenger. Come and listen to his sermon. Listen to your prophet, the words he's going to say. هذا رئيس المنافقين يقوم أمام الباب. This is the head of the hypocrites standing outside the masjid of Rasulullah. Standing outside his masjid, encouraging people, come and listen to him. But inside his heart that we find was the clearest element of hypocrisy. So these individuals in this gathering had to be exposed. Al-Fadiha, exposing these individuals and to warn them that if you carry on traversing this path of hypocrisy, then what will the end of you be? Look at the Quran in great detail. The Quran begins with Surah Al-Baqarah. And many of us may think that Surah Al-Baqarah speaks about Ahlul Kitab, rightfully so. But study in great detail. First four ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, تَتَحَدَّثْ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The first four ayat speak about the believers. The following two ayat speak about the kuffar, the disbelieving individuals. Then a page or so more or beyond that, 13 ayat
speak about whom? About al-munafiqoon, about the hypocrites. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beginning the Quran? This introduction to the Quran, for what reason? This is something that many of us, we fail to understand. Uslubul Quran, the language of the Quran, the intent of the Quran, the hidden inner meaning of the Quran, to decipher the Quran. It's not just a recital, modal recitation of the Quran. There's a deep inner meaning how the Quran moves from one theme to another theme, one story to another story, punishment to reward, to whatever it may be. There's a reason behind that. It's a deep inner meaning. Only Ahlul Quran, wa khasatuhu, only people of Quran will see that. We see those trinkets of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to traverse inside His word, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a great flow inside that, how Allah moves from one topic to another topic. So he begins by speaking about these munafiqeen. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah kataba risala kamilatan, wrote a whole risala called Sifatul Munafiqeen, characteristics of the hypocrites based upon these first 13 ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, if Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah ma taraka illa Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, if Ibn Taymiyyah, whose teacher, only left one student on the face of this earth, only left Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, that shows the knowledge of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh. That shows his standing. Because Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he wrote Zadul Ma'ad fi Hadi Khair al-Ibad, one of the most profound works of seerah, speaking about the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. How did he write this? Did he write it in a library with his books surrounded by teachers telling him, or books around him? He wrote it whilst traveling to the journey of Hajj. He wrote it whilst traveling to Hajj, speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's the most profound books speaking about the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمِ لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ كَسْبِي مِنَ الْكُتُبِ. Ilm isn't to just be deciphered from books, that we drink it from books. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Fear Allah and Allah will teach you, will illuminate you. That's what Quranic sciences is, because we're living in this world of just professing words and statements. You know, some of the companions, they weren't so intelligent individuals, but what led them to excel? مَا وَقَرَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. That what existed inside their hearts. قُلُوبُهُمْ طَاهِرًا. Their hearts are pure, eliminating any element of nifaq from their lives. That's what the companions were. Traverse through the Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat inside Surah Al-Imran. Then you find a thrust of ayat inside Surah Al-Nisa, in the fourth chapter of the Quran. Then again inside Surah Al-Anfal, the eighth chapter of the Quran. Then inside Surah Al-Tawbah, Surah Al-Qital, or Surah Al-Fadiha, the surah that exposes the hypocrites. Many ayat inside Surah Al-Tawbah speak about these hypocritical individuals. Then again inside Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, we find exposing the hypocrites, speaking against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, till eventually we come to Surah Al-Munafiqun, the 63rd chapter of the Quran. Kullu surah. That's why ulama said, why is it called Surah Al-Munafiqun? No other name for this surah. Why is it strictly called Al-Munafiqun, the hypocrites? Because min al-bidaya ila al-nihaya tatahaddath anil munafiqin. Because from the beginning to the end, it only speaks about one topic. It speaks about hypocrites. And that's, we should be worried about this inside our lives. There's nifaqul i'tiqadi, a nifaq which is a higher level of inside one's belief that one doesn't tolerate at all. That's what hypocrites are. They begin to display Islam, but within, internally inside their hearts, within themselves, they want to destroy Islam. Don't look at this, excuse the language, don't look at this garb that many of us, we may dress this garb that people think this is a symbol of Islam. That just one element of Islam. There's numerous elements of hypocrisy that we live inside our lives, that we need to fine-tune. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. There's sicknesses inside our hearts. And it doesn't say a sickness. Sicknesses exist inside our heart. We're oblivious to the element of nifaq inside our hearts. And nifaqul amali, inside our dealings, inside our actions. Umar al-Khattab, he says to Hudayfa ibn Yaman, who was sirrun nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hudayfa ibn Yaman had the names of the 30 to 40 individuals who were hypocrites. He knew them by name. He had them memorize who these individuals were. Look at Umar ibn Khattab. Look at us, look at our audacity of what we claim to be. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. We claim sanctity, purity for ourselves. We claim to walk around people that we're people of paradise. We deserve paradise. We're going to enter paradise. We have a right over paradise. We have a right to condemn other people. They don't deserve to go to paradise. And that's as a disclaimer, whatever we listen to today about hypocrites, please don't apply it upon any individual. If you want to apply it upon your own self. Don't go around seeking knowledge to apply it upon the masses of people around you. That's not ilm. That we're sucked into this our capacity in our mindset is only to gain ilm, to apply it to the people around us. Whatever we hear, we say, oh, he must be a hypocrite. He must be a fasiq. He must be a fajir. He must be a kafir. That's not the intent of knowledge. That's not the intent. The person first applies everything upon their own self, their own life, questions themselves, where am I from this? That's why Umar ibn Khattab said to Hudayfa, he said, is my name amongst the munafiqeen? Tasawwaru hadha. Imagine this. Amir al-Mu'mineen, who becomes Amir al-Mu'mineen, leader of the believers, he's asking Hudayfa ibn Yaman, is my name in that list, in that qa'ima? Please tell me, is my name there? Is he doing that to show off? Or does he really deeply believe inside his heart and his mind that possibly I could be amongst the hypocrites? That's what Abdullah Mas'ud said on one occasion, there's a wall, kana jidar bayni wa baynahu. There's a wall between me and him, and Umar al-Khattab was on the other side of the wall. And I heard Umar saying, bakhin, bakhin ya Umar. I heard Umar saying to himself, wretched you are, wretched you are. That you need to fear Allah, if not Allah will rectify your affairs or will deal with you accordingly. This is Umar al-Khattab. This is what you call real leaders. This is what you call Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because the hypocrisy, I don't want to enter the worldly political climate, is clearly in front of us, the hypocrisy around us. When people try to hide behind it and say this isn't hypocrisy, hypocrisy becomes apparent. Allah doesn't allow hypocrisy to remain concealed. It becomes apparent, just like this individual, his words became apparent. His tongue became apparent. His hatred towards Islam became apparent. Because it's a disease inside the heart that needs to come out of the heart. And that's why one, it was said to Hudayfa ibn Yaman, who had these names of these hypocrites. He heard the individual making dua, oh Allah, expose the hypocrites. You know what Hudayfa ibn Yaman said to him? He said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to respond to your dua and to expose all the hypocrites, you would be a single man walking on your own in the face of this earth. Bi-ayyi ma'na. That all of us contain hypocrisy inside our lives. That if Allah destroys all of us because of whatever hypocrisy that we have, there won't be a single one of us on the face of this earth. And we need to remove this hypocrisy from our lives, from ourselves. Because this is the benchmark is inside the heart. The heart of the individual is what carries iman and kufr. That's why in Makkah there was no hypocrisy. There was only iman and kufr. It was only this fifth element or this fifth column that began to exist inside Medina, because the hypocrites saw that if the Prophet ﷺ, he continues in his message, that we're going to be taken out. That's why many ulama said that these ayat, these 11 ayat sent inside Medina at the time of Bani al-Mustaliq, the ghazwa, this warfare that took place against this tribe and the well of al-Murisay, this well that you find whereby the companions, they got together to drink some water. And you find that a dispute began to take place between al-Ansar wal-Muhajirun. And each one called his own followers. Just like today, when people dispute amongst one another, my group, my family members, my tribe, my people, whatever it may be. What did the Prophet ﷺ, he warned his people, what did he say to them? Leave these racist slogans, these chants of jahiliyyah, of pre-Islamic practice. Inna hadhi ummatukum ummatan wahida, wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. This Islam is one way of life. One way of life, one belief for every single individual. There's no fadl, there's no virtue that when we travel through the earth. Fadl al-Arabi ala ajami wa ajami ala Arabi. Look at the world. Hypocrisy. When people say, no, it's not hypocrisy, it's clear hypocrisy. That they mistreat people, mistreat Muslims. And look how they treat disbelieving individuals. Not that we ever want that to happen. But look how they, look at the way it enacts in society. That's clear hypocrisy. That people display certain things. Al-istihza bi ahli sunnah, al-istihza bil Islam is hypocrisy. To make a mockery of Islam, to make joke about Islam, to ridicule about Islam, to make Islam look derogatory, to look religious clerics look like they're backward individuals. They don't know anything about the modern world. This is what we exist, this is the real world that we live in. Not from non-Muslims, from our own Muslims. This is the real world because this shows a hypocrisy inside the hearts that we haven't polished or we haven't removed. So when this fight, when it breaks out, each one of them calls their own members. And they begin to squabble amongst one another. Abdullah ibn Ubay al-Salul, what does he say? Sam min kalbak yakuluk. He makes his proverb. He says that you fatten your dog and it eats you. What does he mean by that? He said, you allow these people. You allow the Muhajirun to come into Medina. Now they eat with you. They drink with you. They live with you. They take your food, your cultivation, your land, your property. So it's your own fault. These are the comments that he made. And you find that there's a young boy who's standing there who heard this comment, kana ghulayman. A young boy heard this comment. And he went back and he rushed back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Kana Umar qa'iman. Umar was standing there. And he conveyed this, that this is what Abdullah ibn Ubay Salul said. Everybody knew that he was a hypocrite. Don't be surprised, they knew that, but there was nothing there to clearly expose this individual. So they say that Allah, maybe this boy, he may have misheard the information. So when they call Abdullah ibn Ubay Salul, he comes and he comes to the Prophet, I'm giving his excuses, weeping, crocodile tears. I never said anything of the sort. Maybe the young boy heard it incorrectly. So the Prophet gives him that excuse. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down these ayat? Sends down this whole surah, up to 11, up to the about the verse speaking about that they want to expel you from Medina. لَيُخْرِجَنَّكَ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلْ. They want to throw you out of Medina and they want to be powerful and dominant themselves. So Allah exposes what the belief of these individuals are. If you begin from the beginning of the surah, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ إِذَا آتَوْكَ يَأْتُونَكَ. If they come, الْمُنَافِقُونَ. What are the sifatul al-munafiqin? What are the characteristics of the hypocrites that we should be worried about inside our lives? Awwalan, that we find as-salah. Wa la ya'tuna as-salata illa wa hum kusala wa la yunfiquna illa wa hum karihun. Wa la ya'tuna as-salah nafsul kalimat idha ja'aka. When they come to salah, they come to salah kusala, in a state of laziness. Laziness, because salah for munafiqin is thaqil, is heavy, is burdensome for them. They find it hard to come for salah. That's awwal sifa lil munafiqin. First sifa of the hypocrites, al-amali. If a person finds it hard to come to salah, they need to delve deep down inside their heart. Another place in the Quran, Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, وَإِذَا قَامُوا لِلصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. وَإِذَا قَامُوا لِلصَّلَاةِ, they stand for prayer, they stand in a state of laziness. وَقَبْلَ ذَلِكَ, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. The hypocrites, they try to deceive Allah. And Allah is able to pick up their deception. And in the symbol of their deception, وَإِذَا قَامُوا لِلصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they stand for salah, they stand in a state of laziness. And when they do stand in prayer, يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ, that people may tick the boxes. Here I am on television reading salah. Here I am outside this location in masjid reading salah. Here I am because I don't want to be exposed by the community. I'm here for salah. And then Allah says the inner meaning, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And when they do stand there, inside their heart, لِأَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ الْخُشُوفِ فِي الْقُلُوبِ. As-salah is inside the hearts. حَذُّ الصَّلَاةِ لِرَجُلِي. Your share of your salah is what is inside your hearts. Person gains a full reward. All of us, we stand equally inside salah. What excels one individual to another individual? It's inside the heart. The devotion, the commitment inside the heart of the individual, it excels their reward. So when they stand inside prayer, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a minute amount. Minute amount. Then Allah speaks about these individuals. مُذَبْدَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَلَا لَا إِلَىٰ هَؤُلَاءِ وَلَا إِلَىٰ هَؤُلَاءِ. مُذَبْدَبِينَ, they're here. When they come inside the masjid, they're with the Muslims. When they go outside, they're with the people, with their friends outside with them. Neither here, neither there. Or over here or over there. That's what happens. Their iman begins to waver all over the place. Because why? They don't understand the essence of as-salah. They don't understand as-salah. Inna as-salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Wala dhikru allahi akbar. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'oon. Inna as-salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The impact of salah inside a person's life. What's the impact of salah? This is as-sila baynaka wa bayna Allah. This is your relationship between, your bond between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're speaking to Allah on a daily basis. Shaykh Sa'd ibn Taymiyyah kana yaqul, if you want to speak to Allah, you want to speak to Allah, then stand inside salah. You want Allah to speak to you, taqra al-Qur'an. Read the Qur'an. Read the Qur'an. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to you, that's when you read the Qur'an, you should always be pondering inside your life, thinking, these ayat are applying to me. These ayat are speaking to me. That's why ulama said that al-munafiqoon, Allah never mentioned their names. He mentioned Fir'aun wa Haman. He mentioned certain elements of kufr and disbelief, but he never mentioned al-munafiqoon specifically by name inside the Qur'an. Limadha? Because Allah wants us to stay away from the traits. The traits of hypocrisy. What are symbols of hypocrisy? إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبًا. If he speaks, he lies. ثَلَاثَةُ آيَاتُ الْمُنَافِقِ ثَلَاثَة. Three signs of the hypocrite. The idea that we should be worried inside our lives. If we speak, we lie. If we're entrusted with something, we betray that trust. And we make a promise, we break that promise. We're entrusted with something, we break it. If this happens, either bimana istimrar. Remember the disclaimer I mentioned, that if it happens once in a while, person doesn't apply it continuously in your dealings with a person, these things begin to exist. Then the symbols that person should be wary. These are symbols of hypocrisy upon this person inside their life. And likewise, we mentioned about al-istihzab bi-sunnah, mockery, making a joke about Islam. You know, these Muslim comedians that we find who make a joke about Islam. Islam isn't a joke. Islam, let's get this clear inside our minds. It's not entertainment. You know, people say we need entertainment inside our lives. Islam does not give a substitute. Islam is a way of life. Entertainment is something totally separate from Islam. That if you want to enjoy yourself in any form of halal entertainment, keep yourself fit or whatever, recreation, whatever it may be, or enjoy yourself, don't mix it with Islam. Don't try to shroud it with Islam that this is Islamic entertainment. Because Islam is serious business. It's not about entertainment anymore. You can see Masjid Al-Aqsa today, what's happened to Masjid Al-Aqsa, as we believe inside entertainment. We can see inside India what's taking place at the moment, and we believe inside entertainment. We can see through the world. We must be baffled inside our mind that we still think that, yeah, it's all about entertainment inside our lives. You call to be men, men are serious inside their life. Inside Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah mentioned, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ. For amongst the believers, they are men. What does it mean to be men, رِجَالٌ? Is it just a physical format of manhood? It's quwwatul iman. Look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He had skinny, thin shins he had. When you climb the palm tree, they will laugh at him. They will laugh. Look at how skinny this companion is. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about this individual? That the weight of this individual is heavy in the scales. So not all the companions were ferocious and strong. But what did they have? They had iman. They had iman inside their hearts. And that's why, look at where did Islam spread? All the way to the boundaries of this country, all the way through Al-Andalus. It was there. Islam is there. Spread east and west. Why? How did these people, Bedouin, destitute, barefooted individuals, traverse the earth? We have billions today. Billions today. We can't walk from one location to another location, except for them telling us what to do inside our lives. That you move from here to there. You do this from this to that. You should say this and say that. What kind of Islam is that? What kind of clear hypocrisy is that? That your Quran, that your motives and your words and your statements is all legislated from people, from other people who give it to you. And they tell you, they delegate to you, this is how you live your life. This is what your Islam is. How can he come and endorse upon me and tell me how to live my life? He can tell me how to walk on the streets, to cross the road, stop at traffic lights. He can't tell me what's halal, what's haram. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why inside Surah Al-Munafiqun it mentions, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِلْرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Glory and izzah belongs to whom? It belongs to Allah. Then the messenger and to the believers. Believers will always be successful. Antumul a'laun, always be successful. There's no doubt about that. Even a believer leaves this dunya. Siru ila al-qubur. Go and see the graves. Go and see the end of these people. Go and see the end of their life. How much is this life anyway? 60 years, 70 years, 80 years of life, whatever it may be. Let them have whatever they want of this life. It's a short temporal life that they're going to be given to. And their hypocrisy on the day of judgment, and even before that in this dunya, will be exposed. And that's what we should worry about inside our lives. We find it amongst the munafiqoon. You find it sharp inside their tongues, inside their speech. They would make smiting comments, rudimentary remarks that they would make to the Prophet alayhi salam, to the companions. These are all symbols of hypocrisy. And likewise, find symbols of hypocrisy a person should be worried about. Ostentatious pride. Arrogance. When a person looks down upon other individuals, that is hypocrisy. What is kibr? You know, somebody asked the Prophet, is kibr, is arrogance to dress well, to look well? No. Arrogance is what? Al-kibr, ghamtun nas, batur al-haq wa ghamtun nas. Arrogance is to reject the truth and to despise and to look down upon the people around you. That's what real arrogance is. So these elements, ostentatious and pride, it leads to what? Hypocrisy. Likewise, we find ash-shubuhat wa shahawat. Doubts and desires lead to hypocrisy. The more you travel the path of doubts about Islam, you read via their view about Islam, you read their material about Islam. How many of us, in all honesty, have read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover to cover? How many of us have read it in a language that we understand? That we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us. This is what Allah is telling me inside our lives. You know, I don't want to say this to sound derogatory, but there's people who speak fluent Arabic language. مَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ. They can't read the Quran. Aibun. They cannot read the Quran. And just the other day, there's a young individual who's moving his finger through the Quran, and a person asks him, he said, تَعَلَّمْتَ الْقُرْآنَ تَعْرِفَ الْقِرَاءَ قَالَ مَا أَعْرِفْ أَقْرَاءَ مَا تَعَلَّمْتُ شَيْ. He said, do you know how to read the Quran? Because he saw him reading the Quran, sitting and reading the Quran. He said, I don't know how to read and write. I was never given the opportunity to read and write inside my life. But all that I do is I move my finger. And every single line, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Wa yaqul Ibn Taymiyyah hadhi al-ibada. لأن من ما عنده آلة تعليم, person doesn't have the tools to learn. Didn't have the tools, ability to learn, فهو معذور. He's excused. But he says, I sit there and I read the Quran, move my finger all day till I finish the Quran. And we know the Quran, but we don't recite the Quran. We don't ponder over the Quran. We don't reflect over the Quran. كتاب الله وراء ظهورهم كأنهم لا يعلمون. Quran goes behind our backs. It only comes out when there's certain disputes. How many disputes do we deal with that people when it's to do with money or issues? Then people say, bring out the Quran. Or problems inside family feuds, bring out the Quran. That's not just what the Quran is for. In this month of Ramadan, it's a spiritual impact, a focus inside the Quran. Of reading Imam Shafi'i, في Ramadan, كان يختم 60 قرآنا. Imam Shafi'i would complete 60 قراءات of the Quran in his month of Ramadan. ونقل عن أبي حنيفة رحمة الله عليه 40. Imam Abu Hanifa رحمة الله 40 recitals of the Quran inside his month of Ramadan. So where are we from this in our recital of the Quran? If you can't do that, have we at least read the language that we understand, the English language? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling me to do inside my life? Then we complain about our problems inside society because this Quran, Hadith Sahih Muslim, this Quran, it lifts up people and it defames people. That's what this Quran is. And some of the ulama, Qurra, they said that the Quran, no one can overcome the Quran. That's why the Qari, the Imam, yukhti ahyanan fil qira'ah. That's why the Imam, he makes a mistake inside his qira'ah. Because ulama of Qurra have said what? The Quran is something that cannot be conquered. You can never ever say you've conquered the Quran, that I've memorized the Quran from cover to cover and I'll never make a mistake. The Quran conquers over everyone. بِلِيَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Because it's a speech of Allah. It's a speech of Allah, so it conquers over everything to show the naqs and the deficiency of the human being. These are words of Ar-Rahman, words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we approach these words inside our life? How do we give reverence to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside our lives and inside our daily practice? To highlight the difference between Iman and Kufr, or Iman and Al-Nifaq that we find. Al-Nifaq that we find, that Lughatun Ulama have described, that Al-Nifaq is like a tunnel, whereby that many beasts or animals who live underground, they make two tunnels. So when they attack by whatever it may be, they're able to escape via another escape route. That's what an-nafq, an-nifaq is, logatan, is to conceal something, falsity, to delude people, to trick people. That's what an-nafq is, nifaq is. And that's why every single one of us should be worried about that. As the Quran, it begins by speaking about يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They try to deceive and trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who believe. But they only deceive and trick their own selves. And they don't even perceive it. That's how the Quran is beginning with. في قلوب مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. In their hearts is a sickness and Allah has increased that sickness inside their hearts. And so we should be worried about that. And the sprouting of hypocrisy, as we mentioned, as shubuhat wa shahwat, doubts and desires lead to hypocrisy inside a person's life. When a person follows their desires, it eventually leads a person to enter into hypocrisy, to abandon their salah, to enter into certain things. And a third element, some ulama mentioned about hypocrisy, what sprouts hypocrisy, as mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, is musiqa, music. What we find in the modern world around us at the moment, that these types of music that we find around, what does it lead to? Why are so many of the shabab away from Islam? Why are they drifted away? Because if day in and day out, those are the vile, vulgar, filthy language that they're listening to on a daily basis, what does it sprout into their hearts? That's what ulama said, two things can't exist in the heart of the believer. You can't have words of Allah. You can't have sawtul rahman wa sawtul shaytan fi nafsil qalb. You can't have the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside your heart and the voice of shaytan inside your heart. One will overcome the other, meaning it lead you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we're surrounded by. It sprouts hypocrisy inside the heart of the individual, keeps them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see the symbol. What is Iman? Abdullah ibn Ubay Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, when now he's been discovered that he's the head of the hypocrites. These ayat have come down about him. Then Umar ibn Khattab is standing there. And he says that either in one some narration, let me strike his neck. Or he says to another individual, another companion, let this individual go and kill this individual for being a hypocrite. The Prophet ﷺ says, no. Because people will spread this message that he kills his followers. And some ulama of Seerah, they mentioned, Ibn Hisham mentioned inside his Seerah, that 1 month later, Umm al-Khattab, he says, I then understood that the Prophet, he was right in his verdict. Abdullah ibn Ubay Salul, his son, whose name is also Abdullah, he's the opposite. When he hears that these ayat are sent down about his father, what does he go and do? Well, huwa mu'min, he's a believer. He goes and he stands at the doors of the Prophet, just like his father stood there to make a joke, ridicule about the Prophet. He stands there and prevents him from returning back into Medina. Because when they're returning back from the Ghazwa Bani al-Mustaliq that took place in the 60th of Hijri, as Imam Sheikh Safiur Rahman Mubarak Furi in his Seerah, Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtum, he mentions in the 6th year, in the month of Sha'ban or so, when he stands there, prevents him from entering. He says, I'm your father. He says, I'm your father, let me enter into Medina. He said, I'm not going to let you enter into Medina until you don't apologize. His son is preventing him. This is what the difference between Iman and Kufr and Nifaq is. Because Iman has no blood relationship. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwatun. Iman is what gives brotherhood. That's what gives brotherhood inside Islam. But if people have that same affiliation, like Musa and Harun, he made dua to Allah, guide my brother to Islam, that he began to strengthen me, to be with me. That becomes nurun ala nur, light upon light. So there has to be a benchmark, a differentiation that needs to be made of people of Iman and people of Nifaq. And then the end ayat, it begins to highlight, concludes that we get distracted with this dunya. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum an dhikrillah. Don't let your wealth and your children derail you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dhikrillah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And spend from the wealth that Allah has given to you. You know, this mindset that most of us walk about, it's my empire, my wealth, my property, my life, my money. This is nothing but the fadl of Allah. It's the virtue of Allah. Every single thing that we possess inside our lives is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُمْ بِالنِّعْمَةٍ فَهُوَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. No ni'mah that you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read Surah An-Nahl, the 16th chapter of Quran. The other name of Surah An-Nahl is Surah An-Ni'am. Everything inside this surah speaks about the blessings given to us Muslims. All these blessings given to us Muslims by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should an individual do? Return that gratitude via obedience and kindness towards the people around us. Spend of this wealth that Allah has given to you. مِنْ قَبْلِ يَأْتِي أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Then a person says, oh Allah, give me respite. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentioned this respite is mentioned many places inside the Quran. Inside Surah Ibrahim, when they said, give us time to come back. نُجِبْ دَعْوَتَكَ وَنَتَّبْعِ الرُّسُلِ. We listen to the call and we follow the messengers. Did not the call come to you? Likewise inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتِ. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, the person say, oh my Lord, let me go back to this dunya. Let me go back and do some righteous actions. Allah says, these are empty, vain words. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. These are vain words. Now there's going to be barzakh. There's a barrier, an interspace, a seal. There's a lock now between you and this dunya. You won't be able to go back. One hadith, وَإِنْ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا, as Ibn Kathir, he narrates, is weak. But the meaning is there. The meaning is there. That the only way every single individual wants respite to come back to this dunya. And the only respite that will be given to the individual is min awladihi. Is via his children. That's the only respite. So when his children carry on doing righteous actions, these are the actions that will be delivered, given to that individual when they leave this dunya. That's where you find a dhurriya as-saliha. To pray for righteous progeny. Good genealogy, good family members, good children, obedient awwalan lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then secondly towards their parents. Any person who's sahib al-Quran, student of the Quran, look, read through the Quran in great detail. Every time Allah speaks about belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what comes straight after that? Many of us have forgotten inside our lives. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be good to your parents. If one of them or two of them come to an old age, the Quran says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Don't even say, uff. Uf is not even a word in the English language. But uf in the Arabic language carries a deep meaning. This sound that you utter from your mouth, min al-kaba'ir, is amongst the major sins. To just say that to your parents, and even your parents are disbelieving parents. Ulama said, ata'a wa sahibhuma fi dunya ma'rufa. Even the disbelieving parents, you obey them. Obey them in everything except for that which is disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that will lead them to Islam, that your ta'a, your obedience, your love towards them. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show goodness to your parents. And then from there, goodness to your family members. You know, these social problems we find inside our society, why do they exist? Because we traverse away from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. لَمَّا كَانَ يَدْخُ الْبَيْتِ كَانَ يَخْدُمْ أَهْلُهُ. تَصَوْرُهَا. This is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, some people say it goes against your rujula, your manhood. If he entered his house, كَانَ يَخْدُمْ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ, he would serve the house. He would wash, clean, sweep the floor, take care of the house, do everything that needs to be done. وَإِذَا سَمِعَ الْأَذَانِ, if he heard the adhan, then he would leave everything. This is whom? This is our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The statesman, the leader, the warrior, the fighter, the politician, the king, the ruler. 1443 years have gone by, and still the only leader on the face of this earth who still dominates and rules is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. The message is closer to believers than even their own selves. Every single day, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. Salah upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, day in, yawmiyan, second, minutes, hours, thousands, hundreds, millions. Remember him, because he is the ultimate individual that we fluster around. We base our life upon him. We read through his seerah day in and day out. Read his hadith, read his life. To what? To emulate him, to become like him. Because maybe via that some dust of goodness may come to us. Some dust of conquering once again will come back to us inside our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate all the suffering, the problems taking place inside this Muslim ummah in this blessed month of Ramadan. Make dua for those individuals suffering in hardship, in poverty, in difficulty. We eat every single day. Every single day we eat well. We drink well. We live well. Just for one small moment when you break your fast. Think about that. A person in Gaza drinking contaminated water with mud. A mother boiling potatoes, giving it to her children to eat every single day. Just think about that. This is hypocrisy inside our lives, that we don't seem to have an affiliation, a love for Muslims around us. The suffering of a Muslim is for every single one of us suffers. Ulama, read Sir al-I'lam al-Nubala by Imam Dahabi, 15-20 odd volumes. Read about his reads about the life about ulama. كانوا لا ينامون بالليل. They never slept at night. They were worried. They said, what's the problem? Is there an issue that you're not sleeping at night? Because we've heard that so-and-so in such and such a land is suffering, is going through hardships. They're going through hardships, so it troubles me. So it should trouble us inside our lives, trouble us that we awaken to do something to help them. At least aqal shay, make dua for them. Even secrecy, because dua has become a political climate at the moment. It shouldn't make dua for these people. What kind of deen is that? That you don't make dua for these people? If you're allowed to make dua lil kafirin, you're allowed to make dua for disbelieving individuals. Why can't you make dua for a Muslim individual? You're allowed to make dua for a person who's a disbeliever. The Prophet has made dua for disbelieving individuals to guide them to come towards Islam. So why can't you raise your hands in secrecy, make dua for the Muslims and his Muslim ummah to return it back to a state of glory?